that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 on the show. Obviously, we're going to get into the David Price, Dennis Eckersley story as written by Dan Shaughnessy in today's Boston Globe. We'll take your calls. I got a million things to get to. And Billy, let's open up the phones right away because we're expecting Dan Shaughnessy to check in with the show. We're going to talk to Shaughnessy right out of the chute because I got some questions specifically for Shaughnessy regarding the story that he wrote in today's Globe. I mean, and if you have not read it, it is absolutely a must read. What went down between David Price and Dennis Eckersley is the headline on the story. And look, if you ask me, boy, does Price look like a complete dink in this thing. A complete dink. And so if you want to talk about David Price, we can talk about David Price. To me, there's also a bigger component of this story, which concerns the Red Sox overall. Okay. And I want to read you one specific part of the story that I thought was absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. So, in fact, I'll tell you what, let's bring in Dan Shaughnessy right now by the AT&T Expert Hotline. And, Dan, I'm going to read this part of the column to you. Not that you need to hear it because you wrote it. Okay?
Sure.
On the day of the episode, David Price was standing near the middle of the team aircraft surrounded by fellow players waiting for Eckersley. When Eckersley approached, on his way to the back of the plane, a grandstanding Price stood in front of Eckersley and shouted, "Here he is, the greatest pitcher who ever lived. This game is easy for him." When a stunned Eckersley tried to speak, Price shot back with, "Get the expletive out of here." And then this line, "Many players applauded." Many players applauded. Doesn't that make you worry more about the team than it does about Price?
Yeah, that was unfortunate, I thought, and no one's disputed that. I mean, because I my four people who were there told me that, and then everyone else I talked to when I would said guys, you know, when I said and guys applauded, nobody said, "Oh no, that didn't happen." So, yeah, I thought that's bad, and you know, I mean, it's the bully school bus mentality. It's not good. It's being a follower, not a leader, not thinking for yourself. And it's more than a tacit approval of this MO, which is to be a bully and call a guy out, sort of just attack him unannounced and pick your spot. If you have a problem with Eck, you pull him aside, you talk to him in the clubhouse or at the bus or anywhere, but you don't have this grandstanding thing in front of everybody and just humiliate a guy. Especially given what one guy has done and what the other guy has done professionally.
Dan, he completely belittled him. He completely belittled him. So look, my question to you is today, and then we can get into some of the particulars of the story. But you obviously are a columnist. You asked to opine. In this particular case, you served as more of a reporter than a columnist. But what is your takeaway from this whole incident?
Well, I think it's outrageous. And, back 2 or 3 weeks ago when Nick first reported it, I mentioned it's so upside down to have one guy, David Price, criticizing Dennis Eckersley, given the accomplishments and the things they went through. And for David Price to say some people don't know how hard this game is, it's just ridiculous. I mean, X went down this path, you know. I mean, the guy, you know, one of his teammates ran off with his wife when he was in Cleveland. You know, he was an alcoholic, and he got released, and he got traded, and he was down and out, and he went from being a star to a closer. He gave up one of the most memorable home runs in the history of baseball. He was always a stand-up guy, looking after his teammates, being protective, you know, taking the blame. And he pitched 24 years. He's in the Hall of Fame. So that's just not the guy that you call out as doesn't know how hard this game is. And if you can't take a little truth and sense in criticism, you know, do something else. I mean, you're getting $217 million. You're 0-9 in playoff starts. I mean, that's just not the guy to be taking on this guy.
Okay, so again, we're talking to Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, who wrote the story in today's editions, or on the website actually last night, that outlines the conflict between Dennis Eckersley and David Price on the team flight not too long ago And boy, does it make Price look like an absolute tool. And in fact, it makes the Red Sox look like tools, Dan. So let's take it to the broader perspective. What kind of accountability do you give to John Farrell on this? Do you feel like the Red Sox have handled it well?
No. I mean, I think above John Farrell, I would say yes. But no one in uniform has apologized to Dennis Eckersley. And that's outrageous to me. I mean, and I think you remember when Manny knocked down Jack McCormick. I know Billy Lanning remembers it, but, you know, that was a thing that, you know, I think Tito was really, just really angry about that. And I think the manager needs to tell the guys how you behave and how you don't. The professionals, this and that. But I wasn't getting that when I talked to John. He was really just changing the subject and, again, not disputing that there was no apology. There wasn't.
Did you,
so it's weird.
Did you get any sense that Eck is pissed about how the team has handled it, Dan?
Well, he should be. And I wouldn't, you know, I think you can draw your own conclusions on that. But you know, ownership and Sam Kennedy, and they all felt badly, and they did tell him how they felt. But they don't seem to have any control over their players or any, punishing powers, but just ability to make them do the right thing like you would your children and say, listen, you know, you got to go tell the guy that wasn't okay. And it's just not how we operate. It's just a really immature, no class way to operate.
So, but ultimately, like, don't you get to hold someone accountable for that? Like, you know, seriously, well, like, how does that happen, Dan? Look, you've been covering baseball, I don't know how many years, and I know you had an anecdote in there about Brooks Robinson saying this is not, you know, sort of stepping in and policing the thing. It doesn't feel to me like the Red Sox have that kind of guy anymore. And I am stunned that the manager also didn't take a more proactive role in this.
I would second that emotion. I would agree with everything you just said. And believe me, I tried. And I went at it and tried to get someone to tell me, oh, no, we apologize. But, I mean, I can tell you, Price is still angry and thinks he did the right thing. Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
When did you start reporting on this? I mean, this happened, what, a month ago? I mean, or something close to it, right?
Yeah, it was the last day of June. It was like July 1st, June 29th, 30th, whatever. But, yeah, I wasn't around, and I just didn't sit well with me, and I wanted to know more. And I started making calls, and then I hit the road on Thursday, and I had made calls prior to that. And I started – I spent all day, you know, Thursday and Friday and Saturday talking to guys. And just being around the team and being around the people who travel and finding out what went on that plane. And there wasn't a lot of conflicting versions, I can tell you that.
So how many people would you say you spoke with in entirety to report this?
17. I counted them up on the plane last night.
You spoke to 17 different people.
Different people. Now, that's not 17 ballplayers. It's not 17 people in the Red Sox entourage. It's 17 people who are either part of that or connected to Dennis Eckersley.
Okay, so, no, I got you on that. It doesn't mean 17 ballplayers. It means 17 people who had some version of the story. And do you at all wonder why this hasn't come out? Or how hard was it for you to get information?
Nobody wants to go on record, and I understand that. And you really can't go up to guys and say, you know, how come you were a jackass? You know, it's kind of a weird thing, but nobody wanted really any part of it. I mean, I thought, you know, Kevin Gregg, the publicist, did a good job at confirming the Jackie Bradley, stunt, and, you know, basically said how that played out. And, you know, Sam Kennedy went on record. He was very contrite. And Farrell was on record. He just didn't want to, you know, he didn't deny that there was no apology. And he said, we're moving on. We're trying to win games. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who travel with the team that are not ball players, as you know, but they were on the flight, as you and I used to be. And unfortunately, we're not doing it anymore.
So with regard to this, Dan, one of the questions I have, and one of the, you know, maybe it's a leap that I make, okay, but I look at the fabric of the team, the makeup of the team, and I feel like when a guy like David Price can stand up on a plane, block an aisle, verbally humiliate somebody, and again, all with the idea of belittling another person and other players on the team clap, that tells me that they have a makeup or character problem on the team. Like, I don't know any way around that. And I connect that to, last October and their inability to sort of really dig in and fight and compete with the Indians. They got their asses kicked in that series. And I look at some of the young players on this team who are now clearly being led in a certain direction by a guy in Price who's one of the senior players on that team. And I have serious concerns about their ability to win when they have these types of character flaws. Like, I think that there is a connection there, that this is symptomatic of a problem. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with that, and I think that people who are not in uniform, who work for the Red Sox, would share that. They're not going to say it, but they're disappointed in how this went down, and that it went down at all, and the fact that no one in uniform seems to feel badly about it. I mean, that's not good, and evidently, even if they work for you, you don't have any control over them, if that's how they feel. So I guess if you're upper management or whatever, you just say, well, maybe this will galvanize the fellas, whatever. So I don't know what else. I don't know. There's really not a lot of good spin to put on it.
Okay, before we let you go, there's two other quick things I want to ask you. One concerns the Jackie Bradley incident from a couple of years ago, which you cited. In 2015, Bradley was annoyed at some of the things Eck was saying about him on the broadcast. He asked Kevin Gregg, the publicist, if he could take a picture with Eck before they got on a plane. Now, Gregg didn't know that Bradley was annoyed. But
no.
So they took a picture together. Bradley then went on the plane and tweeted out the picture of him and Eckersley and said, I'm paraphrasing, but I want to thank this guy for saying the things he says and not, you know, telling people what I can't do, because that's what motivates someone like me. To your knowledge, did Bradley subsequently, I mean, again, I use the word ambush. It's as much of an ambush tactic of Eck as Price's was on the plane. To your knowledge, did Bradley apologize to Eck?
Not according to everyone. Yeah, I mean, it happened, I would say I'm confident in saying no. I think that I think Jackie feels badly about how this came out and made him look. I mean, he shouldn't have done it. And
Did you try to talk to Bradley?
I did not. I talked to Kevin Gregg about it, who explained exactly how it went down, and we had the Twitter is on record, and it happened, and. I talked to Dennis. According to Dennis, there's been no apology. They did have an exchange on the plane, but Dennis did not come away with a good feeling after that. I mean, maybe Jackie thinks they made right on it, but that was not Dennis's interpretation.
Okay.
He's still hot about it.
Sorry. And I was going to say, so Dennis is still upset about it.
Yes.
And then beyond that, just quickly, just out of curiosity, what kind of beating have you taken on this?
Unusually little, Mass. You know, everybody wants to kill me. That's one of the things that tells you how overwhelming this is. It's a generally it'd be a shoot the messenger thing because it's me, but that's not even been happening because it's just so clear, you know. I mean, who's right and who's wrong here, I think, for almost any discerning listener, caller, reader, whatever you want to call it.
Dan, I'll tell you what, we were on the air today for 4 hours, as you know, on the afternoon show. I'll be on for a fifth right now. I've yet to hear from anybody who's defended David Price.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And I defended him for a year and a half. And this was a tipping point. And I told him, and he's not having it.
All right, Dan, we got to let you go. Out of time, but appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, there you go, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. If you haven't read his column today, you should read it. Really, boy, does it make the Red Sox look bad. CBS Sports Minute is next. When we come back, we'll get to your phone. CBS Sports Minute is next. Brandon Tierney on Kyrie Irving.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter-event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions, that's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Price is thinking about a little 6-4-3, and that one ripped instead down the line. That's going to keep on bouncing all the way to the fence. One run is in. Here comes Trout around to score. Two runs in. Pujols doubles in a pair. And that'll make it a 3-2 game. That one hammered to left field. That's a deep drive. Hit it for the corner. That ball's gone. Simmons with a two-run homer. And just like that, the Angels have the lead.
They put the ball in play. As many strikes as Price is throwing, you know, they've got a chance to hit it hard. I mean, these are major league hitters. And they'll get you.
It did not take long. Red Sox went into the inning ahead 3-0. Now 4-3. Now a sock to right field. That's going to drop down for a hit. Pujols into third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw now will be cut off by Hanley Ramirez, and they have a rundown going as Pujols scores.
No, not at all. You know, that's what you hope for. You know, and that's I feel like if I get three runs, you know, as early as we did tonight, you know, that should be enough. And that wasn't the case tonight, and I'll be ready to go next start.
So on top of it with Price, there was that. That's the game Saturday. 3-0 lead in the early part of that game. I thought he looked good. The Red Sox lose 7-3. Price got hammered in the process. Three walks, a hit batter, a home run. He was gone. He was gone by the sixth. That was the end of that. So we'll get to your phone calls, and then it will be largely this topic tonight. Obviously, Rafael Devers got called up. He's not in the lineup. He'll play tomorrow, so we may get to some of that tomorrow. But we'll stick with David Price for a while. I personally find this to be very worrisome, okay? I just think this Red Sox team is a makeup problem. I'm not giving you sensationalistic or sensational opinions or coverage. I'm telling you, they've got a makeup problem. I had questions about their ability to win. And I do now more than ever, exacerbated by the fact that David Price ambushed Dennis Eckersley on a team flight, and teammates applauded. I want to know how you can defend David Price, John and Woburn. Go ahead.
So you're saying, Dennis Eckersley can go on national televised TV, and, you know, and I love Dennis Eckersley. Let me just say that right away. I love Dennis Eckersley. I love his takes, but you know, he can say what he wants and maybe rip on a player and get little to no repercussion. But David Price, you know, says something in front of his teammates, you know, and again, the celebration is one thing, but he gets blown out by Boston media for this, you know, for this event. And Eckersley gets away with everything on TV.
Okay, so John, listen, this is exactly what the player would say, right? Like, and believe me when I tell you, because I lived it. The player would say, so wait a minute. You get to write or say whatever you want to the whole world about me, but then I cannot do the same thing to you publicly in the middle of the clubhouse. I can't do that. And here's what I would tell you. Do you really think it's the same thing? And what did Eckersley say about Price that was personal in nature?
I mean, you know, the Carrabba's story that he wrote, Jared Carrabba's, I'm sure you'll talk to him tomorrow, and I hope I get to call in. He cited, I think for Rodriguez, something he said about Rodriguez.
He did.
His numbers, yeah.
Rodriguez had so what precipitated the whole thing was that Rodriguez had a bad rehab outing. They put the graphic up on the Nesson broadcast, and Billy Laney, if you have the actual comment, here's what Eckersley said when they put the Rodriguez numbers from his rehab start up during the Red Sox game.
Eduardo Rodriguez made his first rehab start tonight.
Yuck.
Yuck. That's it. That's it. That's all he said. We lost the caller. So that warrants you getting belittled on the plane in front of everybody. That warrants you that? Yuck.
The guy, yuck.
Yuck.
You can't defend the way that David Price went about this. If he had an issue, and I can understand the players do if they're being criticized, you pull a guy to the side and you have a man-to-man conversation with him. That's all.
So,
or you want to belittle him, do it to his face by yourself. Don't do it in front of like a group of your teammates that you know you're going to get applause from.
I mean, all you're doing there is you're trying to show the guy up. Again, that's all you're trying to do. Eckersley's doing his job. And again, now if you want to get on Eck, and you say, well, his criticism was unfair or unwarranted. But all I'll tell you is that Eck is expressive in his commentary, sometimes in a positive way. Listen to him talk about the play Dustin Pedroia made in the game in Texas on that play behind first base against Carlos Gomez. We've played the audio. Listen to it. Listen to how positive he sounds there. So that because he said, yuck, boy, that's a bad outing, that gets you belittled and berated on a plane? That's what it does. Steve's in Maine. Steve, go.
Hey, Tony, first of all, I got to preface all this by saying I could not stand, and I mean it sincerely, I could not stand the signing of David Price. All right, I'll preface it by that. Number two, Price is such a DB, such a douche. My question, though, my actual question is, did David Price ever have issues in Tampa, Toronto, or Detroit, where he's been? Never, ever heard anything. Is it just Boston?
Well, Steve, I think it's worse here, and I'm going to let you go just because I'm trying to – a lot of you are lined up, and I want to get to as many of you as possible tonight. Okay, but think about it. In Tampa, he had the issue with Ortiz, right, complaining that David Ortiz was watching a home run. In Toronto, he got criticized for pitching poorly, and he tweeted out basically belittling both Dirk Hayhurst and Tom Verducci. Now it has happened here on two occasions with Evan Drellick and with Dennis Eckersley. So you tell me where the real problem lies. Like, if you're David Price, shouldn't you be looking in the mirror at this point and saying, hey, look, if you can't win in October, there really isn't anybody else to blame for that but you. And you know what? The Jackie Bradley story in this Shaughnessy column pisses me off just as much. Jackie Bradley asked to have a picture taken with Eckersley before a flight. Then he gets on the plane, and he does it through the team publicist, by the way. He doesn't ask Eck himself personally. They take the picture. Then he gets on the team flight, and he tweets out, I want to thank this guy for telling me all the things I can't do because it's people like him that drive me. So then he sticks the knife in Eck's back. Thanks for the picture. Now I can put it on Twitter and rip you. Weasel. Weasel. Jackie Bradley, 1-for-10, 7 strikeouts in the playoffs last year. David Price, 0. That's 0 career wins as a starter in the postseason. So let me guess. These guys want to blame someone else for their failures and shortcomings as players? That's what they want to do? They want to blame someone else. This feels like a team to me that is destined to lose. Now, September, October, that ultimately they are going to lose. And I hope I'm wrong, but if and when they lose, who are they going to blame then? Sean's in New York.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. David Price, this is unbelievable. The $30 million baby doing this to Eck. That's like being at a bar challenging someone to a fight, and then you go outside, and David Price is six of his buddies, and it's Eckersley all by himself. But what I think this is reflective of even more is Farrell, because I think he lets him pretty much get away with anything. I think, like, Francona had the chicken and beer. Now it's they can berate whoever they want, say whatever they want, and he's not going to punish him. He's not going to do anything. And just let it go. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't do anything. I think that's very reflective of Farrell.
Okay, Sean, I'm glad you brought up the chicken and beer thing. I'm glad you brought that up because you're not the first one to make that analogy, and it's a comparison that is easily drawn. I'll explain to you why after Jim Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
What do you know? You're at the office late again. Because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning. Like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions? Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to.
Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So here's an image for you. Okay, again, David Price standing on the plane, blocks the aisle, gets in Dennis Eckersley's face, humiliates him, belittles him, then, you know, tells him to F off, go to the back of the plane, and there were teammates applauding. Applauding. So stop for a second and ask yourself the question. Which guys were clapping, which ones weren't? Like, who do you think was clapping? And I'd be willing to bet the majority of them. A lot of young, sensitive players on this team. A lot of young, sensitive players. In fact, the leadership void is really part of the problem. And I go back to the end of 2011. The caller at the last segment said this. You know, the whole chicken and beer nonsense. When the Red Sox completely imploded in a you know, self-destructive finale or month, in which at one point there was a player who said to someone in team management during that, lest you forget, there was someone in there who said, well, what do we want to make the playoffs for? We don't get paid extra for that. Okay, that's the type of attitude that had been fostered in that clubhouse. And Terry Francona at the end of that said, the team was focusing on things that I didn't think was healthy. I tried to steer him in the right direction and ultimately said my voice was not being heard. And so I wonder, is John Farrell even confronting these guys about that? Does John Farrell want them focusing on the baseball? Or does Farrell hate the media too when he feels this is some sort of rallying call? I mean, you tell me. Joe's in a car.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good.
I want to go back a couple weeks ago, a rival radio station. Farrell had a pretty rough interview, if you recall. Do you recall that?
Of course, yeah.
And then the following week, it's just him and just one guy. The other two disappeared all of a sudden. Now,
Joe, what are you getting at?
What I'm getting at is, why is Farrell so defensive? Why are the Sox so defensive? If you guys in the other station want to criticize, you guys should be able to criticize. They're getting defensive now. You know, stand up for your actions, right, Nance?
Okay, look, so Joe, to me there's an accountability problem on this team, and I will tell you, in any major league clubhouse, okay, the large majority of guys are going to sit in the middle. They're just going to sit there. They're going to neither lead nor follow. They're just going to sit there and wait to see what the group does.
They're almost like independent contractors that way.
Okay, and then there's always a core group of your true leaders that pulls the team in one direction or another. So I would tell you that the problem with this team right now is that you have too many guys pulling them in the wrong direction and getting them to focus on all this garbage, like what Dennis Eckersley is saying during the broadcast. So again, think about this. You're in the middle of a pennant race. You're in first place. But David Price is spending his energy thinking about how he's going to ambush Dennis Eckersley on a team flight. Jackie Bradley, 2 years ago, is devising some little scheme where he can tweet out about Eck and the fact that Eck points out his flaws on broadcasts as if he's perfect. Are these guys focusing on winning? And is this part of the reason why they're not really fulfilling their potential? I know they're in first place. Okay, they should be better than they are. They should be better than they are. And it certainly feels now like Price is polluting the environment, and that his negative hate Boston attitude is starting to suck the team in the other direction. So as big a problem as Price is, bigger might be the fact that they don't seem to have anybody that can stop it, including the manager. Focus on the baseball, you donkeys. You've lost 10 out of 16. And you're worried about showing up Eck on a flight because he said yuck when Eduardo Rodriguez had a bad outing in a rehab game? Losers. You're losers. You're acting like losers. And I'm not going to think you're a winner until you actually win. Because outside of Pedroia, nobody in that clubhouse has won anything. None of them. So shut up and win something first. That would be my advice. Tom's in Boston. Go.
Hey, how are you? It's good to be on here. I just wanted to say that I totally agree with this. You know, it's getting ridiculous now that I've always thought that Farrell should at least control the team somehow because it's just creating negative energy here.
Oh, listen, Tom, the manager's part of the problem.
Okay, absolutely, no doubt.
So again, and you know what? It doesn't always have to be the manager. It could be someone in the clubhouse that at least when something like this is going on can pull guys together, whether it's a team meeting or not. Maybe you go sit next to a guy in a flight. Maybe you bring him into the trainer's room during BP. I don't know. You find a time to talk to him and you say, hey, all that stuff is extraneous. Don't get caught up in the noise. We've got work to do. We're trying to win a championship. So who is there on this team now that can do that? It really is maddening. And again, this isn't just because most of us like Eck. But it's one thing to go off on a member of the media. But if you really had a problem with what Eck said, pull Eck aside. Eck, more than Evan Drellick, more than me, more than Shaughnessy, more than any of us. Eck, Hall of Famer, Eck. Eck deserved to be pulled aside and said in private, hey, you're being a little tough on us. Can you ease up a little? Dennis Eckersley has forgotten how hard the game is? First of all, boo-hoo-hoo, the game is hard. Wah. You and your $31 million contract per year. $217 million, David Price. It's going to be hard. You signed up for it. You too, Jackie Bradley, and it's not as hard as you think it is. Maybe you're making it harder than it is. Oh, it's loser behavior is what it is. It's loser behavior. Matt's in Natick.
Tony, what I'm worried about is, you know how they say you can't fire all 25 players, you got to fire the manager? What I'm worried about is that Eckersley's in that same kind of position. They're going to bend over. I mean, Nesson's an arm of the Red Sox. I'm worried that they're going to bend over backwards to please the players and that they're going to shoot Eckersley.
Okay,
and I would hate to lose him.
So, Matt, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. I thought you were done again. I'm just trying to move along because we've had a lot of calls. So, as you can imagine, it's a topic that has struck a nerve with a lot of people. So with these guys, I wouldn't rule it out. I'd have concern over that, too. Again, remember that in 2011, when that thing was coming apart, John Henry invited them all onto his yacht and gave them headphones. Instead of saying, hey, look, the objective here is to win. The objective here is to win. Dennis Eckersley is an employee of the team. Part of his responsibility is to assess and criticize your performance. He also praises many of you when you do things well. Okay, he does that, too. Boy, this team feels like a bunch of big babies, doesn't it? It really does. I've told you this. I wonder whether they really know how to win. I wonder whether they have the mental toughness, the makeup, the character. I wonder whether they really have it. Because last October, they got their asses kicked. Jackie Bradley went 1-for-10 with 7 strikeouts. Mookie Betts didn't look like himself. He looked like he was overwhelmed by the moment. Xander Bogaerts didn't play well. Andrew Benintendi hit, but he also brain-locked in the field. They did not play well last October. They didn't win a single game. And so we can chalk that all up to growing pains, and maybe that's all it was. If they have a good finish this year and a good October, then fine, no problem. You guys can say whatever you want. But this? Oh, Mickey Mouse, minor league stuff. Really. Ambushed. You ambush Dennis Eckersley on the team fight just to make yourself feel better. Oh, that's pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. Aaron's in Fall River.
Tony, you know what pisses me off the most? Dan Shaughnessy took a freaking flight across the country to break this. Where are the freaking beat guys who get paid to be there and report on the team on a day-to-day basis? How do none of them have the same source as Dan Shaughnessy, who, by the way, works for John Henry's newspaper, has? How come Dan Shaughnessy's breaking it? Where's the other guys?
Hey, Aaron, look, you're preaching to the choir, pal. I don't know when it changed, but it did. I mean, I couldn't give you an exact date. And I'm not telling you that I was perfect on the beat either because I wasn't. Okay, but I wasn't this bad. I know I wasn't this bad. No one even thought to follow it up. Has anyone even asked the questions of what really happened there? Again, it was a month ago. We had Shaughnessy on at the beginning of the show. He said he made some phone calls. He went out there and he started talking to people who travel. And he wouldn't specify players. He's not going to tell you who he talked to, nor should he. Okay, he's not going to do any of that. None of the other guys thought to do that? Not one? Or they didn't want to? See, because what happens if you start asking these questions in the clubhouse, they freeze you out. And again, this comes back to the players. I always blame the players on this more than I do the actual media people. So Shaughnessy doesn't need them to do his job, whereas the beat guys do. So I give the beat guys a little latitude, but you couldn't sniff around a little bit? Chris is in Boston.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to basically discuss the relationship between the owner and coach here. I think it's reflective in Kraft and Belichick and Ainge and Stevens, but it's not with Henry and company and Farrell. It's clearly evident that they really don't – they're not on the same page. When you're on the same page like the other organizations, you win. And they take chances as an organization, not player by player. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
So, look, Chris, there were times, though, when Francona was the manager that I wasn't completely sure that he was on page with ownership either, and they won in spite of it, mostly because the baseball operation functioned well. Okay, so, again, look, there's always going to be conflict between the on-field product and the business side. There's always going to be that conflict. Okay, church and state. I mean, that's what it is. One side's the business side. One side is the actual competition side. So every organization has that. The Red Sox had those conflicts constantly when Theo Epstein was here, and they won. For the most part, they won. But they had the conflicts constantly. To me, what I find most stunning about this is that the players, the uniform people from within, couldn't identify that it was wrong. Nobody stood up. The only guy in this team that has won anything is Dustin Pedroia. And I said this earlier in the day. I'm starting to wonder. Remember that whole thing in Baltimore with Manny Machado and Pedroia standing on the top step of the dugout and singling people out? Hey, that's them. It's not me. I didn't order that. I didn't order the pitch to be thrown at your head. That's them, not me. Bad look for Pedroia, right? Well, I don't know. Look back on it now. Maybe Pedroia was looking at it saying, these guys don't know how to act. These guys are a bunch of babies, the manager included. Babies. Manny Machado slid into Dustin Pedroia, and Dustin Pedroia said, hey, it's part of baseball. People get hurt. That's part of the deal. Pedroia wasn't pissed. Pedroia accepted it as reality. Now, look, airing his displeasure with his teammates and his manager and his coaches on the top step of the dugout, I'm not telling you that was the right thing to do. But I'm starting to wonder if Dustin Pedroia is the only winner in that clubhouse, because the rest of them, acting like a bunch of losers. And if David Price has sway, if David Price has pull in that clubhouse, and he's tugging along guys like Betts and Bogarts and Bradley and Benintendi and Vasquez, and they're all young, how many real veteran guys do they have in this team? Pedroia, who's not going to get swayed by Price? But Pedroia's never been the kind of guy to be a real team leader and take over the room and tell everyone else that they're idiots. He wants it. Just go out and play ball. He'll leave the screaming and the yelling to someone else, like Ortiz. But if you really go through the roster, they're almost all younger than Price. Kimbrel, Sale, Chris Young is older. But the large majority of the team, David Price, if he has sway in there, that is scary. So again, Price is who he is. They don't have anyone to stop it on top of it, including the manager, which is alarming.
What do you know? You're at the office late again. Because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning. Like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions? Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to.
Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.